This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sam Doncaster. How are you, Sam?
Good, thanks, Chris. Lovely to be here.
You're an Englishman, you've lived in New Zealand for a fairly decent length of time, and now you're living in Fals, Germany.
Yes, that's sort of true. I'm actually living out of a suitcase, so I go to where I can find the work, but that's where I am at the moment, yes.
Fals, Germany. Excellent, excellent. You're working. We've got you mid-cycle. In fact, it's always mid-cycle, isn't it, with grafting?
Yes, there's intense periods, and then you get a little bit of a quieter moment or two, and then going back into another intense period. So I'm just visiting UK here, heading back the weekend.
So now it's going to overwinter in the cool house?
Yes.
Dormant. And then it needs to, go into the ground, really? Is that the next step?
Yes. People usually place an order a year in advance so it can fit into a grafting program. You really want people to put an order in before the end of January so you can plan it and start grafting February, March.
Yeah.
And then they can expect to pick up the vines the following April, May, depending on when the soil in the vineyard that's going to be established is in good condition.
And I suppose the key thing there is there's so many different rootstocks, scions, grape varieties, clones, different lengths. You know, you don't really want to just make a load of material and hope that you might sell it because it might not quite be what they're looking for. Do you ever have any materials that you overproduce on the expectation of selling?
Yes.
What is it? The stuff that you know everybody just wants?
Well, hopefully that is the case. Occasionally you do end up with excess to requirements.
Yeah.
These ones can have the roots trimmed back to 1 millimetre and have the bud at the top taken back to a single bud, and they can get put out in the nursery again.
Ah, yes.
And they start to grow just like one the year before. And then they get sold as a second year plant, and there's nothing wrong with them. They do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing that year after year, so they have to go after the second year.
Yeah.
The flip side to all of that is that there's a lot of people in the whole industry of conventional variety sort of nursery work, say Riesling on SO4.
Yeah.
You cannot do everything for all people all the times. However, everyone else is only a phone call away. They'll be calling you for some material, and you can be calling them for some material. And the works that I'm, the direction the company's working in is with these new varieties, bulking up these new varieties. Other people call us because they have inquiries about those. Mm-hmm. And then if we want some Riesling on SO4, we can say, can you send us some of that?
Yeah.
So there is a time when there's a lot of horse trading. There are white vans coming 4 or 5 times a day from nurseries all over Germany, with pallets coming off and going on and going all over the place.
Okay, so people are putting together like different types of grafts that may not have, weren't ordered, they haven't got a sale for it.
Yes.
And they're just putting together the product that the client wants last minute.
If there's a particular sort of late order that someone's already ordered a lot of things and you think, well, I've got to get, everyone works pretty much the same size of carton because the vines are the same size, the same number in a carton, it's all universal. So we can just say, look, this carton hasn't got our name on, but we've worked with these people for 20 years. They're good vines. Take them. And it's accepted because we know the quality is good.
The guys buy the vines from the storehouse that have been chilled. So I understand some people do hot water treatments before shipping it out the door or shipping internationally anyway.
Yes.
What is it and why do they do it?
It's one of those kind of security things. I've told you about people checking for virus, but if you effectively, it's a bit like chemotherapy. If you give it a blast of something that's so horrible and nasty that kills all the bugs in it, doesn't quite kill the parent plant, so to speak, then it'll be clean and away it can go and you can say it's being treated.
Is that, and what are they trying to clean? Is it molds and mildews or?
No, it's internal material, it's virus.
Really? Are they trying to kill viruses in there?
Yeah, I mean, external stuff that's like mold. Most plants have got skin.
Yeah.
They've got bark. They're fairly robust. If you've got material which has come from somewhere which is known for harboring a virus in that area, then there are concerns. I mean, you can't test for everything, but you can effectively half cook it And then you can say, well, it should be safe. Give it a certificate to say we've half cooked it, and away it goes. It's not something that people like doing. It's very difficult. It's a fickle thing. And it's a sort of thing that academics are inclined to pursue. It's about the only thing that actually works in some areas. So I can understand why people hold that view, get it hot water treated. From the angle of doing it, I wouldn't do it.
Because there is a loss, isn't there? Some of the vines will not survive the hot water treatment. So
I don't know how to really sort of describe it, but I mean, you know, you've got bunches that are very tightly held together with, you know, banding and things, and you've got a whole lot of these bunches, and you put them in a kind of framework and dip them into hot water, and then say, well, the core temperature gets up to something like 55 for 2.5 minutes or one of those sort of things, but the outside gets up to sort of a little bit hotter, and they're the ones that give you trouble. And then one variety has got more reserves in it because it came from a better rootstock grower and that sort of thing, and they're robust and they can handle anything. Another one dies. It's a nightmare scenario, and it always comes back to the nursery.
Yeah,
every time.
So, which is why you guys don't want to do it.
We've never needed to. It's just people have started to say, well, we think you should do.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're sitting there shaking their heads thinking, what's this all about?
Some people hot water treat, yes. Some people don't. The idea is to kill the viruses in the plant.
Yes.
If there is any, hopefully there isn't anyway.
Yes.
Okay. And then it turns up at the vineyard.
Yes.
Vineyard, it's been chilled. I presume do they chill it during transportation, or do they say, look.
Often as not.
Turns up at a vineyard. Do they plant them straight away, or do they store them, or?
They can do as they like. It all depends on the condition of their soil. Mm-hmm. We try and get it out within a reasonable time frame that we expect the soil should be good. And people phone in and sort of say, look, in 2 or 3 weeks, could you, you know.
Is that because of frost or water logging or?
Water's the issue.
Water.
Water is the issue. You can plant before the vine starts growing. So, you know, if you've got a particularly dry winter, you can plant quite early and they just sit in the ground. You can also wait way later. I've planted vineyards up to the middle of summer, in the, you know, 20th of June sort of thing. And they will grow. There's not a problem there. Depends on how the soil's prepared, who's done it, and a few things like that, or if it's irrigation, perhaps. So, yes, they go out in cartons. They should arrive sufficiently quickly. They're not going to start growing. They can go back into cool store, or the people could be ready and the soil's in good condition. That being the case, it's as well to take the plants out of the cartons and have like a bath waiting for them with water that's going to be at the same depth as to how deep you plant the vine. Yeah. And you can leave them in there overnight, possibly a couple of days, so they can kind of take up a little waters and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're ready to go out in the field.
Okay, and they're warming up anyway. They might even be starting to,
yep,
to think, oh, this is a good time to start growing. So they're probably just waking up at that stage. Put them in the field.
Yeah. You can go into some cool stores and there'll be plants in there which will have a feel for like maybe the full moon as it comes around, or the spring equinox, or something else. It's in a cool store, surrounded by metal and polystyrene, the rest of it, constant temperature. I've been into a cool store, actually, in Nelson, and it was used by other nurseries, other plant material, and had these wonderful Japanese flowering cherries. They were all in blossom in the cool store.
Nice.
Even though they were really cold.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And but you have to be a little bit careful from a technical perspective. If you put your vines in a cool store that's had apples, ethylene has come off the apples, and there's a chemical in the air, it stimulates bud burst.
It's bananas as well, ethylene, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, so go find your local friendly butcher and stick them in the back of their cool store.
Okay, so get them in the ground, and I've seen tractors, they have a tractor basically follows a GPS line, and it just sticks them in the ground. There's a special end of the tractor, and it just does it. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the planting machine. There are many, many other ways of doing it, depending on partly your philosophy, but also what services you've got available and how the ground has been prepared. If the whole ground is mechanically cultivated and is totally loose, and you can get a mechanical planter to come in and do whatever they do, 10,000 a day, or I forget what it is, 25,000 a day, then it's just job done, send them a check, get on with things. I have actually planted with a handheld auger, 10,000 vines.
Nice.
I've planted...
Handheld auger, not even a petrol.
No, just... the petrol one.
Oh, it is a petrol one, yeah. Not that sort of...
Yeah, no, but also a tractor-mounted hydraulic auger.
Yeah, yeah.
I've used what the French call a bicyclette, which is like a pair of tweezers with handles that come back like an old bicycle. You push them together and it pulls a plug out of the ground. Done 5,000 vines like that, and even used pine tree planting crews to plant 50,000 vines by spade. It can all be done.
Yeah.
They've all got little things you need to look at carefully, but you just plant them in the ground. Whatever you do, make sure the roots don't get pushed back up pointing towards the surface, what they call J-rooting. Vines do not like that, to the point where they'll quite probably die.
Oh, really? The roots. You want the roots facing down. So
yes, yes.
So does that mean you've got to be quite careful about how deep they go in and sit in the water?
If it's a machine, it's going to do what it does. It's all set up and the ground's been prepared. If you're doing it by hand, you can sometimes push them in the ground and then pull them halfway out again. And so the roots will be pointing down.
Yeah.
The ones I did in France with this little bicyclette thing that pulled out a plug of soil from the ground was we actually cut the roots back with secateurs so they were only like 2 inches long on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And so the roots were already like at that angle.
Yeah.
And then they grow in the right way.
Okay.
And that actually was the best vineyard I've ever planted.
Why is that?
I think just because the guys really knew what they were doing.
You mean the strike rate?
Go back 4 years, 5 years later, consistently all the same height, all looking really good. Having said that, good soil helps. Good soil preparation. One of the interesting things I have heard, I'll just tell you a slight tangent, but an old vineyard manager in Germany said to me once, in the first year of a vine's life, the young vine wants to see its master once a week, which means you've got quite a lot of work going up and down, doing all the things you need to do, just like perhaps they're tomatoes in your glasshouse. You've got to look after them, tie them up, take off the laterals, all that sort of thing. The second year of a vine's life, the vine wants to see its master every second week. Again, there's still a lot of work there, but once you've got your vines up to year 3 or 4 and everything's looking consistent and growing well, then you can step back.
After that, they're at the fruiting wire or whatever it is, the VSP or whatever they're doing. They're in the shape, aren't they, that you want? So you need to make sure, as you said, the laterals. Do you worry about any random laterals occurring in the rootstock, particularly if you've got high rootstock? You can have a tree, you can cut it down. There's no growth plant there and the tree will sprout again in a couple of years' time. Do you see any of that sort of stuff or is that a worry?
Every year in every vineyard, you have to go through a couple of times in springtime and take out what is a rootstock shoot that's coming from the rootstock deep down, or in fact anything that's growing up the side of the trunk.
Mm.
Of course, you can do this mechanically, like with some flailing kind of brushes and things. You can do this with handheld tools. You can do it many ways, but yes, it has to be done.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to end up with some funky grapes.
Yeah, you're going to end up in some very strange situation.
All right then, Sam, I think that's pretty much the whole process, isn't it?
Yes. Interesting occupation. I've heard there's up to 80 times the vine is going to be handled from the point of first collecting the budwood to the point of actually getting it planted. All those different steps through the whole nursery, grafting, callusing boxes, packing box, nursery, a whole lot, 15 months or something, and then getting them established in the vineyards is all hand activity. Get it right, it'll all work wonderfully for you, and your vines can give you a long life of good production. If you get it wrong, it's a headache.
All right then, Sam, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Sweet.